so glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Speaking of which, there's new news concerning Wells Fargo, and I want to fill you in on it coming up later in the Clark Rage. And then later, I want to talk about significant changes going on in the supermarket aisle, information you can use to stretch every dollar. Our websites are clark.com and clarkdeals.com. And I want to talk now about the latest developments involving the coronavirus and how it might affect you moving forward. Now, the coronavirus has spread to more and more countries, and federal authorities announced just a little while ago that there are a greater number of reported cases in the United States than prior realized. And I want to say something first about the health risk. So coronavirus, if you have not heard, has a very low fatality rate. It has the potential to spread and mutate potentially. I'm not a scientist. I don't really understand how that works, but I can tell you where it stands now with the infections around the world. It has an extremely low risk of death. Doesn't mean you won't get sick and feel miserable if you get it, but it is creating enormous impact on economies around the world and is starting to have serious impact here in the United States. There are certain parts of the United States economy that are being decimated by the coronavirus. The nation's airlines and cruise lines taking it potentially worse than airlines, and their stocks are just falling off a cliff. Expedia has just announced they're laying off 3,000 people. There are internal factors at Expedia, but I'm sure that even though they didn't mention in anything I've seen from Expedia's parent that the coronavirus is at play, but you're going to find a lot of companies are going to announce layoffs or quietly offer people the opportunity to go on unpaid leave or various things like that as part of a response to what will be potentially a slowdown in the economy. As for a recession in the United States, this is an election year. And it is very unlikely, although it could happen, it's very unlikely that we'll follow much of the rest of the world into recession this year. Because during a presidential election cycle, the administration in power uses every lever that it has access to try to pump money into the economy to keep the economy out of a full-blown recession. But the effects of this will be that the tremendous job engine we've had in the United States over the last 9 years will at least go into a pause, neutral, maybe even a bit into reverse. So where does that affect you and how does it affect you? In my mind, the way I think about this is when you know there are a certain level of storm clouds gathering, the thing that you and I need to do is prepare for the possibility of a storm hitting us as an individual or as a family, and that you make sure that you are prepared. And by prepared in this case, it's about having your finances in order. This is a time that you need to really think about things before you impulsively buy them. You need to think about having a reserve of cash. You need to think about if you've been relying a lot on, let's say, overtime hours from your employer or the paycheck itself. What would you do if you suddenly faced a layoff? Are you prepared for that? Because if I'm right and we go into what economists refer to as a growth recession, it's where technically an economy is still growing, but the job market gets weak. We've been a while since we've experienced anything like that, and you need to be prepared. So this is one of those moments where an economy is flashing warning signs, and you can see it. You know, people talk about what's going on with stocks and all the rest, but if you really want to know the direction of an economy, you look at what's going on with interest rates, not stocks. Stocks are getting the headlines because things have been a little ugly. But the reality is, when you look at what people are expecting to earn on money that they would get from bonds, when you're a bond, it's like you're a bank lending money to organizations. And when I see that people are demanding less interest the longer out you go, that means there's more and more concern in the money crowd with what's going to happen with the economy moving forward. So it's like we've got an early warning signal. It's like things are flashing yellow, and I want you to be prepared. So really look at, take the time to look at what you owe, what you're spending, what you're buying, and think through what you need to do to make sure your finances are okay if suddenly you find your hours cut back or your pay cut back or your job eliminated. Are you prepared for that? Scott's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Scott, you have a question about bolting the United States and going somewhere else. Tell me about that.
Good afternoon, Clark. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I am a longtime listener and first-time caller.
Well, great to have you.
Thank you. My wife and I have been in the last year doing some research about it. We're about 15 years from retirement, but research about the concept of taking our dollars further by potentially retiring for a portion of our retirement or infinity in a Latin American country or Portugal. Some of the countries that we've researched are Ecuador, Panama, Belize, and Portugal. But I've never heard you in all these years speak about this, and I know you're a big steward of making your dollar go further. It seems like this could be one avenue.
Yeah, and you're very right on this. There are a lot of Americans that have actually moved to various parts of Mexico because the cost of living is so much lower and are living in what are like quasi-expatriate communities of Americans and Canadians that have moved to various places in Mexico. You mentioned Panama, which has been very popular forever with Americans who go for better weather and a lower cost of living. Colombia is really in right now. And you think about how weird it is that Colombia was radioactive, basically, through the era that there was so much extreme violence in Colombia. And now it's really high up on the list of people looking at places to retire. And you mentioned Portugal. Portugal is very popular, not just with Americans as a place to retire, but also people from Northern Europe that have been going to Portugal because it has good weather and extremely low costs and very affordable housing. So what I recommend is that you test drive places, not on vacations in the years intervening till when you are looking at possibly retiring overseas, but instead when you do hit retirement, that you look at spending a six-month cycle as a renter in places that are on your short list.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good advice. I appreciate that.
Because I think it's a mistake. This happens to people who fall in love with a place in Florida. Let's talk about something not as extreme as going to a foreign country to live. And they'll go vacation at a particular place in Florida year after year after year, and they set in their mind that's where they're going to live when they retire. At least 7 months a year, they'll go live in Florida. And then they get there and they're like, well, this isn't as much fun as I thought. This isn't at all like it was on vacation. So that's why I never want you to jump in with both feet to a place that you're thinking of living. Have you thought about the whole healthcare aspect with these various countries?
I definitely have. And, you know, I've read, for example, in Panama City, they have a John Hopkins Center of Excellence, very modern hospital. Of course, some of the Asian countries like Thailand have good healthcare, but that would definitely be a concern. And some of the countries, of course, are positioned better on that than others. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I need to continue to research.
So the weirdest thing about the potential of retiring in Europe is a very controversial loophole that has not been closed yet in the European Union, is Americans can essentially buy permanent access to the EU by paying money to certain countries. Greece is very popular for that. Also, Malta is very popular for that, where you buy, you pay them cash, and it gives you permanent resident status to live and travel wherever you want in Europe.
Very fascinating. Yeah, I did not know that. Thank you.
And so I don't know how much longer that has to run as a way for Americans to have that flexibility, but it exists for now. Tony's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Tony. We've got a lot of mergers going on in the financial world right now, don't we?
Yeah. It seems to be every couple of days there's another one.
And we're going to see more of them over the next couple of months, likely. And there's one in particular that has unsettled you. Tell me what that one is.
Yes. Well, some years ago, based on your recommendations, I started using Credit Karma's website and found a really helpful, simple tool to track credit scores and improve my scores. And then I read yesterday that Intuit, you know, the big company, the maker of TurboTax and QuickBooks, is going to buy Credit Karma for, I think, $7 billion or something. And so
billion.
My first thought was...
Did you say million? It's billion.
Billion. Yeah, billion. Yeah. Yeah. And so my first thought was, okay, here we go again. You know, a nice free website that offers helpful advice being purchased by a big company whose maybe main focus is to try to sell you products, or, you know, I'm concerned too that they'll start to maybe sell people's data, or the website will become filled with ads. You know, how often, I guess, does a bigger company buy a small company and the service gets better?
And not mess it up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are, and if, I mean, maybe are they going to start charging for access or...
Right. So here's my thing on Credit Karma being absorbed, is that if Intuit is smart, they'll leave it alone because it's been one of the most successful technology startups of the last 10 years. And just let it do its thing. But big companies seldom seem to be able to leave things alone. So I would say for now, just ignore that they've been bought. And then if over time Intuit messes things up, then it would be fine for you to move on. But for now, I wouldn't worry. You know, one of the angles here is Credit Karma tax and Intuit's interest in people paying to have their taxes prepared instead of getting them for free like Credit Karma tax does. But I'm just going to wait and watch. And you know, Tony, if they start messing with it, you know I'm going to be screaming from the highest
right.
mountaintop as loud as I possibly can.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, I think I also read part of that Intuit was supposed to also offer a free tax service, but they kind of had it hidden in their website.
Yeah, they got some bad publicity about not acting in good faith with the IRS free file program. And so that gives an additional level of concern. And that's why I will watch how Intuit behaves very, very closely. And you will know right here if Credit Karma goes from being a good thing to a questionable one or a bad thing.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Today's Clarkrageous moment is an update for you. New information about Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo, who committed criminal acts against its own customers for what turns out now to be a full generation. The Wells Fargo cheating scandal goes back to 1998, according to a release from federal prosecutors. Wells Fargo ruined the reputations of so many people. Wells Fargo, in its filing, only had to admit that unlawfully misused customers' sensitive personal information. They paid a $3 billion fine and avoided a criminal conviction. The criminal conviction is suspended, what's known as a deferred prosecution, if Wells Fargo doesn't engage in any more shenanigans cheating its customers over the next 36 months, they will not face criminal prosecution. Now, the crazy thing at Wells Fargo is they engaged in massive identity theft, cheated their auto loan customers, their mortgage loan customers, and cheated their general checking account customers and their investing customers over a generation. And nobody's going to prison. That is absolutely unbelievable that if you rob a bank, you go to prison hard time for typically 20 years. But if the bank robs you and you're an executive, you go away with your millions in your country club and private jets and no jail. Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can keep more of what you make. Our websites, Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. You know, one segment of our economy is going through absolute change right now, and that's the supermarket business. A lot of regional supermarket chains have been filing for bankruptcy. Over the last month, I guess it's five, I think it is, regional supermarket chains have filed for bankruptcy. A lot of them will just evaporate. They've been selling off locations to try to raise money and just closing others, which you can do in bankruptcy without really any liability. And it's because how we buy groceries is changing so much that we, the American people, have changed our profile on how we buy the foods we eat. And it's all about price now, not for everybody. I mean, there's still people who are not price sensitive, but the overall is buying by price. And it's caused a big change at supermarkets of all price points, pushing private labels in a way that they really never have. And private labels are really the king now of the grocery shopping market. We're way behind the rest of the developed world, where private label store brands have dominated forever. But now in the United States, if you look at who is the supermarket that everybody fears the most in the supermarket business, it's Aldi. And Aldi is 93%, I think, private label, something like that. And people go into an Aldi and just trust their private labels. Except my son hates anything in their Savorites private label brand, which is their crackers and chips and things like that. He'll see Savorites and he'll say, I'm not eating that. But as a general rule, they have established at Aldi real trust in customers. And there was a survey recently from a group that is all about internal data for the grocery industry. And it's something you and I as consumers would never have ever heard of, but it's the Dunnhumby Retail Preference Index. And in their survey, the cheapest places to shop, number one, is Aldi for buying your groceries. And it's caused, Aldi is so powerful now in the grocery business that they've forced a lot of supermarkets to cut back their hours as one of the ways to lower costs, because Aldi has a 40% price advantage. Imagine that number, 40%, 40% price advantage over traditional mainstream supermarkets. So that's an unbelievable price advantage. Very limited selection, very basic stores, but they are changing the balance of power in the industry. And then there are other discounters, Market Basket, which is in New England, that people in New England are intensely loyal to and has very, very low prices, came in second. Winco Foods, which is in parts of the Mountain States and Great Plains, it is, if I remember right, employee-owned. Winco is a very interesting retailer. I've been to their locations before. It's kind of a cross between a warehouse and a very large warehouse and supermarket. Very low prices. And then the more recent entry from Germany, just like Aldi's, a German supermarket, Lidl, was number four in pricing, followed by number five, Trader Joe's. The interesting thing about Trader Joe's is Trader Joe's and Aldi are corporate siblings. And so they represent the number one and number five cheapest place to buy your groceries. And so the market is looking for ways to compete. And one of them, Amazon is trying, because Amazon has fallen flat on its face with groceries since buying Whole Foods. They have not been able to make that work for them. So they're opening new supermarkets under a different name, under an Amazon name. And they've just opened their first of what they hope to be a chain that there's no cash registers at all, that you go in with your Amazon app and it automatically scans your face, knows it's you, knows every time you pull an item off the shelf. When you're done, you just walk out of the store with your items. And that's a huge cost saving and labor saving for Amazon. Amazon reportedly is going to sell the technology because they see it as a technology platform more than being successful in groceries. They're going to offer this as a platform to other retailers to be able to eliminate the checkout and you just being able, once you've purchased your items, you don't have to use an app like I use at Sam's Club where I ring up my own items on my phone and just walk out of the door of the store. This, you don't even have to do that. You just by breathing, just by existing and pulling items off the shelf, you're done and you walk out. It's obviously a convenience, but it's not about that for the store operators. It's about lowering the costs of the operation. Kathleen is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Kathleen.
Hey, good morning, Clark.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
So I have a trip planned for March 14th to the 21st during our spring break to South Korea. Just found out that the CDC is recommending non-essential travel. So before I call my travel agent, do you have any advice what I can expect, what I should ask, questions I should ask?
So as a result of the warnings from the feds about going to South Korea, the odds are that a lot of the flights won't go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will make things a lot easier for you if they say your flight's canceled. Would you like us to hold your money for a future date, or would you like the money back?
Okay.
It gets a lot messier if the airline that you've bought your travel to South Korea on says, hey, we're going, and you got to be here, or you walk away from your money. That is a risk. But what's been happening across Asia is that airlines, once an area has become kind of like off limits, airlines have just canceled their flight service because they depend not on you as a leisure traveler going for spring break. They count on the business traveler who's in the front of the plane spending like $14,000 to fly business class to South Korea. That's where the money's made. And those people are not going to go. So what I would do is I would just sit tight and wait till closer to your spring break date and your travel, and then wait and see how it does play out. Do you want to still go, or would you rather not go?
Well, you know, I'm more concerned about people's response and reaction than I am the virus. I always get the flu shot, and I know influenza kills more people than this has. But when I come back to Hawaii, because I live in Hawaii, I'm afraid that maybe
they'll quarantine you.
Yeah, the quarantine, exactly. Yeah. And you know, being treated like a pariah when I come back from a place like that here, especially here in Hawaii. You know, we're so the travel industry is very dominant here, and it's a fragile economy, you know, with our tourism.
Sure. Well, my wife, when we were in Hawaii last visit, got influenza B. And we took her to an emergency clinic, and the doctor issued a document, a Hawaiian government document, that banned her from travel till a certain date, till she had a normal quarantine period for that. Because you're right, for the Hawaiian economy, if Hawaii gets isolated because of some kind of outbreak, it's just devastating to the economy because so much is based on tourism.
Right.
And so we weren't exactly thrilled with her being banned from travel. And, you know, she had to stay. She was staying in a hotel room. I was the one who got to go out and see things. But it is a step that may be necessary for public health.
Exactly. So, yeah. So that's my main concern. Also, you know, well, I booked with a travel agency. We did buy travel insurance, although pandemics are not covered.
Correct.
If I were to go, if a travel agency decided not to cancel and I were to go, I'm concerned that, you know, I may not be able to see the attractions. I'll be stuck in a hotel room. But I'm most concerned about coming back. So,
sure.
You know,
so you stand a risk that it's a choice a huge number of people are going to have to make, and that is, do you kiss your money goodbye?
And that's, so if I cancel, I lose my money. But if they cancel, there's a chance that I may get a refund.
No, you get your money back. You do get your money back. So that's why you wait, unless a travel supplier like a tour operator goes bust over this.
Okay.
You get your money back. If you paid by credit card, even if the supplier goes bust, you generally will get your money back. There could be exceptions to that, but generally true. So the best thing to do is, if you have the intention now, if things don't clear up in the next couple of weeks in Korea, that you're not going to go, just wait it out and wait to see. It's almost like a game of chicken. Who cancels first? You don't want it to be you.
Right, exactly. Well, this is very helpful to me. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure, and I'm sorry your spring break is ruined.
Well, I do live in Hawaii, you know, so I find something to do.
Yeah, hard to be upset about that. Oh, I'm stranded in Hawaii for spring break. Rebecca's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Rebecca. How can I be of service to you?
I have noticed over the past 5-6 months that I've been receiving a significant amount of mail and now emails from certain insurance companies related to elder care, Medicare, things along those lines. I'm 31. I haven't signed up for anything that would make the emails and the junk mail make sense. And I'm wondering if I need to be concerned about like an identity theft or something along those lines.
Absolutely. And it's not an automatic indicator that you are a victim of identity theft, but it's a strong hint that you could be a victim of identity theft. It could be just a corrupted database that somehow has you confused with somebody else of same or similar name and thinks that you are a retiree. That could have happened, but it also is possible that you are a victim of identity theft. So how you would start this process is you're entitled each year to one free copy of each credit report from Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian at the site annualcreditreport.com. That's the only one. You got to make sure you go to annualcreditreport.com so you can pull a copy of each of them. It's free. Don't let them sell you any junk.
And we did do that.
Anything odd on any of the reports?
There was a soft pull from a Discover card that I don't recall doing, but otherwise, no. Everything checked out.
All right. So I would recommend that you preventatively do a credit freeze on your three credit files.
Okay.
And before you do that, set up accounts at Credit Karma and Credit Sesame.
Okay.
And what that will do for you is you'll be able to continue to monitor your credit, see your scores on Credit Karma. You'll be able to see your reports. You'll know if anything odd is going on. But as soon as you've set those up, then do the credit freeze process, which is free with all three credit bureaus. And then even if somebody's lurking out there, you're going to shut them down from doing anything else, at least in terms of your credit. And I have a credit freeze guide that you can go to at clark.com/Equifax.
Perfect. We'll check it out.
It'll take you about 15 minutes of uninterrupted time to set up those three credit freezes, and then you'll be good to go moving forward.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, and enjoy your next three decades living much younger than, for some reason, the mailing gods think you are.
No kidding. Thank you.
Sure. Michael is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Michael. How's it going?
It's going fine. Clark, how you doing?
Great, thank you. I understand you got a credit utilization problem that you want to see if I can help sort out for you.
I do. Yes, I've got a what used to be a secured credit card from one of the local mega banks, and I paid off completely every single payday on Friday. And we use it for pretty much everything. My fiance has it, and she uses it for household and personal expenses because she currently has to stay home with our daughter. Like I said, I paid off every Friday, and I've never paid them a dime of interest.
Good for you.
The whole reason I got it was to improve my credit score. And as far as payment history, it has done that tremendously. But when you look at my credit score on the graph, it's just up and down because it'll catch a high utilization on that card 9 times out of 10.
Yep. Okay.
And every time
it gets
zero.
You got to know how to manipulate this, okay?
Okay.
So it was a secured card. Now you've graduated into a regular.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what you need to do is you have history with it that's going to reflect on your credit report. Stop using it, essentially. Use it for maybe one small transaction a month. So it shows activity. Your utilization will go down to near nothing. And that will have a reflection on your score that could be as much as 150 points up.
Okay.
Once that happens, then you can apply for another card and get yourself more available credit.
I do have another card. I've got my two credit cards now. And it has a higher limit on it. The secured card only has a $500 limit on it, which is fine because it helps control spending.
Yeah, but I don't want you to use it at all, really, at this point. I mean, if you know how much I hate debit cards? In your case, it would be better for your wife to have a debit card tied into your checking account and use it for the essential spending instead of using a credit card. I can't believe I just said that. This is the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.